everybody. Welcome to the Weekend Digital Marketing So Far. It's Friday, August 30th. We're going to get started off like we do every week with YouTube. YouTube is going to launch a YouTube Kids website. Now, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. The thing is, the YouTube Kids app wasn't very popular, and YouTube probably really doesn't want to do this, but the rumors are now pretty solid that YouTube got fined millions of dollars by the FTC for violating children's privacy online. So they're probably launching a YouTube Kids website so they can better separate normal content from YouTube content. Immediately following this announcement, YouTube also said they're going to allow some types of quote-unquote dangerous content on YouTube, and InfoWars is making its way back to the platform. So for you parents out there, you might want to start teaching your kids to use YouTube Kids and not the normal YouTube, because the normal YouTube looks like they're going to get a little more relaxed on the moderation, and YouTube Kids is probably going to be really strict on the moderation. YouTube has announced that they are refusing to work with the YouTubers Union. The union was created about a year ago with a couple of YouTube content creators and has since grown in size. Google Germany did invite the union to come tour their office and have a meeting with them, but YouTube has made it very clear that they are not going to negotiate or work on the demands given to them by the union. Over on YouTube parent Google has apparently started taking action on websites that practice what's known as domain leasing. Now, this is the practice of leasing out a subdomain of your website or a subfolder, so something following the slash, to another party to put their content on in hopes that they might rank higher in Google's search results. It doesn't look like Google is going after the entire website that practices this, but just that subdomain that's been leased out or that subfolder, the thing following the slash that has been leased out. Those appear to be losing rankings and traffic in Google right now, which is signaling to a lot of SEOs that perhaps Google is taking action against them. It's Friday. It's the last Friday of August. So I wanted to remind everybody on Sunday the 1st, when none of you are probably going to be working, Google will quit recognizing the no index directive inside of your robots.txt files. So if you are no indexing content using your robots.txt files, you probably need to change that before you leave work today. Google's search engine is testing a highlighting feature. When a user clicks on a search result that Google thinks has an answer to a question that they've typed, and they go to the web page using Google Chrome or something like that, or the mobile app, Google is then going to highlight the content on the page they think the user is looking for and take their eyes immediately to them to help them find that content faster without having to scroll through a bunch of stuff on their phone or with their mouse on a desktop computer. Google Ads now supports seasonality for smart bidding strategies. This will allow you to adjust your smart bidding strategies based on any seasonal changes. Or Google said if you're planning like a flash sale, it'll allow you to change your strategies for that flash sale and then set them back to normal afterwards. Google My Business is testing a new carousel to show other local businesses when somebody looks for your specific business's brand name. The example was shown by Mike Blumenthal on Twitter, and he typed in his favorite example, which is Barbara Oliver Jewelry, a jewelry store in New York. And when you type that above their listing on Google My Business, above their business information, it shows a carousel of other jewelry stores in the local area. Google My Business is also testing out separating a business's profile from the call to action buttons a user might use to communicate with that business. In between, they're putting other search results that might be other businesses or websites like Yelp. Google My Business, we need to talk, okay? Your customer service has been pretty atrocious. If you're not familiar, I've been fighting Google My Business for about 9 months because they keep claiming my physical office, which by the way is where we're filming this, is a virtual office, and that's clearly not true. But now you're allowing competitors to be displayed above a business profile. Last week we talked about how you're letting ads from a competitor show up on somebody's business listing, and now you're testing separating out the call to action buttons. You're supposed to be better than Yelp. You're supposed to be the ones we look to and say, hey, we don't gotta worry about Yelp anymore or all these other websites. Google is gonna be good enough for a business to build their brand on locally. But no, instead you're doing all these horrible things. Please stop it. Knock it off. And with that, we're going to take it over to Facebook. Facebook has added more criteria for people wanting to take out political or social advertisements ahead of the 2020 elections in the United States. Now, they said they added this because they actually caught some advertisers trying to find loopholes or circumvent the current rules. According to several reporters, you can go look it up on your own, but they have found loopholes already in the new criteria. Facebook spokesperson said it's not perfect, but that it does give them a better way to measure who people are and maybe tell a potential user who is trying to influence them and their political beliefs on Facebook. Facebook launched automated lead generation templates on Messenger, and they launched a bunch of other tools along with this, and also announced they're going to deprecate the Discover tab, which up until now has been where users inside of Messengers go to interact with brands and businesses. Facebook also told us in this announcement that they have 40 million businesses using Messenger to connect with customers. Facebook is gunning for Snapchat yet again, launching a spinoff from Instagram as a standalone app called Threads. The app is only for messaging, and it's designed to basically be a Snapchat alternative, and they hope that they can get people to adopt it so they can kill Snapchat off once and for all. For the first time since about 2008, Facebook changed a phrase on their homepage that promised users Facebook was free and always would be free. It now says Facebook is quick and easy. Now, this could mean that Facebook is going to start charging some users for using Facebook, or it could also mean that Facebook knows that people now understand that they are the product and that using Facebook isn't really free because they give up their privacy in order to get all the features and functionality that Facebook gives them. If you're in the UK, Facebook might be buying you a free cup of coffee sometime this week or next week. Facebook is taking over small coffee shops for a couple days at a time, giving out free cups of Joe along with privacy tips. Now, the people who are working these coffee shops have stressed they are not actually Facebook employees, so they are probably contractors or what we refer to in marketing as brand ambassadors. You get a free privacy checkup on the Facebook app. You get a cup of coffee, and they'll also hand you a brochure explaining all of the privacy options on Facebook. Facebook is training an artificial intelligence inside of Microsoft's Minecraft video game. They hope that this AI will succeed where previous efforts have failed. What they're trying to do is they're trying to teach this AI to help people do simple daily tasks. They think Minecraft is the perfect environment because there are simple, easy to understand tools which can be used to create complex things. Over on Instagram, a hacker found a vulnerability in Instagram's brute force detection system that would have allowed someone to hack about a million accounts on Instagram. Facebook clearly thought this was important because they paid out a $30,000 bug bounty to the security researcher who made this discovery. No accounts were compromised, at least as far as we know so far, but it was possible there for a little bit. This is important because Instagram parent Facebook has been under fire for the past couple of years for security issues. So this is a really big win for them because they were able to catch a security issue before anybody was able to exploit it. UFC fighter Paige VanZant said, and I quote, "I make way more money sitting at home posting photos to my Instagram than I do fighting," in a recent interview. This shows that people are willing to pay Instagram influencers ungodly amounts of money for not really doing a whole lot of work, all because they have a large following. So if you're out there hoping for the eventual death of influencers, based at least on the words of Paige VanZant, that does not appear to be happening. We are probably going to see more influencers charging even more money to make sponsored posts on their Instagram accounts. IGTV may soon allow creators to post videos from their IGTV directly to Facebook and Facebook Watch. This is attractive because it would allow creators to get their video content on three different platforms pretty easily. It appears Google and Bing are really starting to work well together. Last week, I told you that you could sync your Bing Places profile with your Google My Business profile to make sure that both stayed up to date. This week, we found out that you can actually sync your Google Search Console websites with your Bing Webmaster Tools, and you can claim any website that's in your Google Search Console inside of your Bing Webmaster Tools, so you can manage your websites on both search engines. LinkedIn launched a new platform to showcase knowledge and information about marketing and advertising on LinkedIn to help businesses and marketers use the LinkedIn platform better. On Snapchat, they redesigned their logo and it pissed off a bunch of people on Twitter. The new logo on your smartphone, the new icon, it has a thick black outline. Snapchat said they did this because everybody else is doing thin outlines and minimalistic designs, and they really wanted it to catch your attention when you looked at the sea of icons on your phone. It is obviously working because so many people are outraged. The question is, are they going to get over the outrage? Or are some people actually going to follow through with their threats to unsubscribe or uninstall the Snapchat app? TikTok announced plans to allow advertisers on TikTok to advertise on an audience network that they hope will get placed on other mobile applications. Ralph Lauren is the first luxury brand to use TikTok advertising during a major sports event, the US Open. Twitter made an announcement telling marketers that tweets with videos get 10 times the engagement of normal tweets.
Bonus round.
A survey shows 17% of marketers are prioritizing voice search, which is a pretty low number considering the dramatic climb of voice search in society. 66% of marketers are prioritizing videos for Instagram stories as one of their top objectives. Yelp launched personalized search, so vegans can now say they're vegan and only see vegan restaurants. You can use the personalized search in a bunch of other ways. This is going to impact lots of local businesses, but more specifically restaurants. It's going to impact you guys a lot. You may get less calls that are unqualified. Hopefully the calls you get are people actually interested in coming to eat at your restaurant. Our final story today is about a study done by my friends over at Perficient Digital. Now, their study discovered that most blogs actually are probably not optimized for SEO. A typical blog, when they post a blog post, it tends to roll off through the pagination, and over time, it gets further and further and further away from the homepage, or what Perficient referred to as link depth. Eventually, it's so far away from the homepage and not linked anywhere else on the website that it doesn't become visible to Google, and Google therefore doesn't pass a lot or any value to that blog post. If you're a blogger out there and you're watching this video and you think that you've written some blog posts years ago that are probably really good and should be getting traffic from Google, but they're not, there's a good chance it's because you don't link to them from somewhere else on your website. You want to make sure that older blog posts are linked to either from external sources or from places like your footer or your homepage or other relevant documents on your website. Well, that's it for this week's episode of The Week in Digital Marketing So Far, the podcast. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you to everyone who has subscribed or listened to us on Podbean or Spotify. If you have any input, you think we missed a story that I should cover, please head over to joeyoungblood.com and let me hear from you.